the morning that sealed the promise.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. We are blessed by God to have you with us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Please know that we've already prayed for you. Our hope is that these broadcasts are being used by God to deepen your understanding of our great salvation in Jesus. We want you to live a life of freedom, power, and victory that Jesus offers you. If during the broadcast you have questions about something or a need for prayer, please contact us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to the website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send any concerns or prayer requests or request any information. This week, we will listen to message number 8 of a series titled Living in the Spirit. Is there some issue in your life that has kept you in defeat? Is some temptation or addiction or habit plaguing you? Have you tried all of the resolutions and promises and sheer willpower and still come short? What if all of us fully surrendered to the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and lives in us as believers? Our resource to overcome is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Would you prayerfully consider this truth today? Would you ask God to show you where He wants to provide this power, freedom, and direction? Pray expectantly as we listen to this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
We are talking about the subject, living in the Spirit. This was going to be a couple weeks in December. Or late November, wasn't it? And here we are in January, but it's really, really, really important. Living in the Spirit, number 8. I'm going to give you a quiz a little bit about what it means to live in the Spirit. So we'll put it on the screen. You'll get your chance here in just a little bit. If you fail it, you won't be denied access to the church next week. That's the good news. But this is not some tiny little unimportant side theology of Scripture that we can take if we like it or leave if we choose not to care. This is heart and soul teaching of Scripture, and the whole beginning of it, the foundation of it, comes right from the mouth of Jesus Himself. The quiz comes from the first page and a half of this handout in your bulletin. So you're going to need to pull this handout out. If you don't have one of these handouts, if you hold up your hand, there will be a person in the back that will bring one to you quickly. This is an expanded version of what I gave you last week. It's not exactly, it adds two more pages to what I gave you last week. I realize that many of you are reading your Bible through this year, and that takes time. I realize that many of you have been studying those four handouts in the back that we've been giving out over the last few weeks. You've been reading them. Some of you say, I've been reading them, and I've been studying them. I know that takes time. There's 27 pages back there, but this is 6 pages now of condensed, hard-hitting, right to what we all need, passages of Scripture about what it means to live in the Spirit. And I really do believe that if you will take the time to read this through several times this week, it's only 6 pages, it doesn't take that long. If you'll take time to read it through and just let it work its way through your mind, much like Miss Wise was letting the Word of God work through her mind here just a little bit ago, I honestly believe it will change your new year. It will change your life. It will make your life very different than what it is. These pages describe a life. Not where you come to the new year with a couple of half-hearted resolutions that you know are going to hit the trash bin sometime around the middle of February. These pages describe a life of inner transformation that's available to every Christian in this room, every Christian on this earth. Whatever your issue is of weakness, and you have them, because so do I, and you better have them if I do. We all do. We've got these issues that God wants to deal with in our life, and this is how he does it. This is how he does it. What if instead this week, this year that's coming, instead of grabbing yourself by your bootstraps, and I actually found what they are. That's it. That's the bootstrap. Instead of grabbing yourself by your bootstraps and pulling yourself up and saying, you're going to do better this year in the weakest, most vulnerable areas of your life, whatever that may be. If you're living with some weakness, some temptation that took you out in 2015, and if you go back to 2014, you struggled with it then, and you struggled with it in 2013, but this year, you have determined that you are going to have victory in that uncrossable Grand Canyon of temptation in your life, but you're going to use the same techniques you used last year to achieve success this year. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, demanding that you change. What if instead we actually caught hold of the biblical teaching of being totally transformed from the inside out by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit? What if we got a hold of this? A teaching that literally fills the pages of the New Testament, particularly from Acts on. What if instead, when you get to the end of this year, you don't look back and say, well, I've been bamboozled by that same problem I had last year all over again. I resolved that it would change, but it didn't again. What if you get to the end of this year and you can look back on the greatest area of weakness in your life and you can say, maybe for the first time ever, that great fault line, that constantly threatened a spiritual earthquake, fracturing my whole existence, has so retreated, so been healed, so been cleansed out of my daily attitudes and actions that it no longer controls me anymore. What if? I realize that to some that sounds like something out of a Power of Positive Thinking seminar, but actually that's an exact description of what the Bible paints as living life in the Spirit. That's it right there. That's not the Power of Positive Thinking. This is the Power of Positive Thinking. You can do anything you set your mind to. Benjamin Franklin. Or Audrey Hepburn. Nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. Really, Audrey? Nobody gets to live a life quite like Audrey Hepburn did. Or this one from Alicia Keys. You can do whatever you set your mind to because you're all that you need. Good luck with that. That's the power of positive thinking. Believing in yourself as all that you need. You are the captain of your soul. On the other hand, this is living life in the Spirit. And let's just put it up here one more time. What if, and I'm talking to you today, what if you get to the end of this year and you can look back on the greatest area of weakness in your life and you can say for the first time, perhaps that great fault line that is constantly threatened, a spiritual earthquake has so retreated, so been healed, so been cleansed out of my daily attitudes and actions that it no longer controls me anymore. What if you could say that? It is true, and I think I can promise you this, that often the areas of greatest weakness in our lives, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to change them, become the areas of greatest strength. Can you imagine that your area of greatest weakness could become an area of great strength that you could use to teach others? That's why these six pages here, and this is just scripture, so it's not like I wrote it. These six pages lay out the spiritual inheritance of no less than every single spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian, every Christ follower in this room. The idea that we as Christians embrace the doctrine of the infilling, indwelling Holy Spirit, and yet in reality, we continue to live our lives bound up by our sinful attitudes, our sinful actions, never quite getting the victory over the many things that drain our spiritual life of spiritual power, is totally foreign to the pages of Scripture. It's foreign to the Bible, particularly from Acts chapter 2 on. It is common in the teachings of modern Christianity. that we can have our sins forgiven, and then we can go on living the same sinful lives, pausing occasionally to ask forgiveness. But that's not what the Bible says is available to you. So let me just dive into Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Because you belong to Jesus, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That's a different story right there, isn't it? Verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Christ lives within you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's a pretty powerful statement, is it not? Lives in you. Man, this is tough stuff. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies. The eta somata, we've been looking at that. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your physical body. He will give life to all that you are. If you live by sin's dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I wasn't sure how this would come out on these screens, but I actually went through this and I bolded. It comes out as underlined, but I bolded and I underlined everything that talked about what God's Spirit wanted to do in us. And then I went through and I made sure I unbolded anything that talked about sin's power over us. That's not what's to be. Here in bold is what is supposed to be. It's not God saying, I'm just so convinced as I've looked at this, I'm so convinced this is not God saying, you bad bunch of Christian. Bad Christian. You're bad spirit-filled people. Why do you follow your sinful nature? Why do you let your sinful nature control you? Why don't you know that your sinful nature will... That's not what he's saying there. That's not the voice tone that God is using. That's not the attitude of his mind. I'm just so convinced of that. In Romans chapter 8, and all the other passages that I've given to you, and I'm so convinced that I'm trying to understand this better for myself. I'm trying to hear the voice of God as he talks to me about this opportunity to have the Spirit's filling, the Spirit's unfolding in my life. I want you to remember something about Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago. I want to take it further. Romans chapter 8 is the chapter that starts out with, you can say it, yes? There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You get to 28, verse 28, we know that everything works together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8. And right in the middle of that, verse 2 through verse 17, right in the middle of God pumping out those powerful, powerful verses that are many of your favorite verses, he puts this section about living in the Spirit. And I'm promising you, this is not a chapter about you bad, bad Christian. Why are you following your sinful nature? That's not what's being said here. This is a go Christian, go chapter. I promise you that's true. God is not saying, you bad bunch of Christians. He is saying, yes, the sin nature will try to pull you off track, but look at what I'm offering you. Look at what I'm offering you. You don't have to live by your sinful actions and attitude. You don't have to let the sinful nature control you. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, God says, I will give you a raging torrent of spiritual life into every nook and cranny of your soul. Is that what you want? God says. And Romans 8 is us saying, it's supposed to be us saying, why, yes, that is exactly what I want. Let this passage, this is just one of the sentences out of Romans 8. There's just so many. Let this sentence kind of wash over your soul for just a few minutes here. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin and death. What does that mean to you in 2016? What does that mean to you? The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin. It sounds like it's talking in past tense. And positionally, it is. Jesus has already paid all of the price on the cross for all of this to happen. But remember, Paul is addressing this to vibrant Christians in Rome. They're already Christians. They're a church in Rome. But they obviously desperately still need to hear what we're hearing here today. Otherwise, Paul would have had no reason to write the rest of this. He says, you've embraced Jesus as your Savior. There's no condemnation. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Nothing can separate you from His love. But now let's talk about, Paul says, the Spirit of God within you, freeing you from the power of sin. Let's talk, Paul says. If you were freed from the power of sin, and I'm talking to you, nobody beside you, and I'm talking to me, please understand that. If you were freed from the power of sin in 2016, what would that look like? What thought just flashed through your mind? Something just flashed through, something about your life just flashed through your mind. And I want to say, whatever it is that God is prodding you on right now, that's what I would like to change about your life. You can be changed. Can you hear that? You can be changed. This is your truth. This is your spiritual inheritance. This isn't something that's for the righteous or the spiritual or the saints. This is yours. You are the righteous. You are the spiritual. You are the saints. Yesterday, I loved what Stu said, Pastor Stu Sylvester. He said, it's not to the men at breakfast yesterday, he said, it's not about reformation. It's about transformation. God's not promising just to reform a few things about us. He's saying, I'll transform you. I'll transform you. Is that what you want? I will transform you. All right, so let's take this quiz. In the next 5 minutes, we can build strong theological foundation using the quiz and using the sheet that you have in front of you. We've been over this material, so it's going to come so easily. Or if you were not here last week, it'll still come so easily to you. But I'll do it in the form of 5 questions. And we'll put them up here on the screen. Eventually, these questions will lead us right back to the question, if you were freed from the power of sin in 2016, what would that change about your life? Here's question number 1, true or false. Just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, He said the phrase, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Then He left. Clearly, He did not mean what He said. True or false? Anybody yells out true, that's really going to be embarrassing. Question number 2. How did Jesus plan to leave and still be with, always be with His disciples and all of us who would come thereafter? Option 1, He would be with them in their memory. He would be with them by what He had taught them. He would actually be with them, not bodily, but by sending His Spirit back here to infill them. Now you like that one. Number 3, let's go on. You're all doing really well on this quiz. We won't have to deny anybody access, which is really good. True or false? 3, He had already told His disciples after the Last Supper that when He left, His Father, He Himself, God, would send another paraclete. We probably need to pause just a second in case you don't know. Paraclete It's that's the actual word that's in the Bible. It doesn't say comforter or counselor like is in your versions. It's the word paraclete. It's the opposite of a parasite. A parasite attaches to pull out. A paraclete attaches to pour in. That's the word. I will send you another paraclete. And then he defines that, the Holy Spirit, who will not just be with them, but would be in them, and that this Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. That's true. That's the exact words of Jesus in John 14 and 16. Four, just before Jesus ascended, he told them to wait for the coming Holy Spirit who would fill them. This is Luke chapter 24. Who would fill them with A, conviction of sin, B, sadness and sorrow of heart. If you don't like that one, how about C, giddiness and gladness of heart? Power from on high. And the answer is D. So then that brings us to the last question. True or false? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and filled all the disciples who were in the upper room and demonstrated that promised power so forcefully through them that 3,000 people came to Jesus in one day. However, the promised filling of the Holy Spirit and the power from on high that accompanied it was only available to the early church in the book of Acts. You did good. How do you know that? How do we know that the filling of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that began on the day of Pentecost didn't screech to a stop with the last period in the last chapter of the book of Acts? Because the rest of the epistles, as the Bible moves forward, starting in Romans, lays out in vivid detail that the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit is the spiritual inheritance of every believer who will ever live. That's what the epistles say.
We take a brief pause from the broadcast to welcome those of you just joining us. We're listening to the eighth message in a series titled Living in the Spirit. Too often, we can view what God says about repentance and freedom as a negative. Like Adam, we hide from God because of our failure. But what God wants is for us to run to Him in surrender to the Spirit who indwells us. Then He can bring the freedom and peace and power we need to live victorious lives. Pastor Sam has been speaking about a resource from the Scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit. This resource contains everything the Bible says about the person and work of the Spirit. Studying this resource will give you new insight in your walk with Christ. We would love to give you this resource as a gift from us. If you have questions about this or need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to the website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, questions, prayer requests, and to request this free resource. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of the message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Remember, Jesus promised that He would be with us always through the Holy Spirit to the end of the age, which ends right as Jesus returns the second time. And then He'll be here forever, and you'll be with Him forever anyway. So you're promised the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, indefinitely. Okay, we began last week then to take these scriptures that are on this page, they're a little different than they were last week, and we begin to let them just fall into five natural categories. I think they're natural. And I do believe that if you take these five categories that are here, now all five are on this page, they weren't last week, and you let them bury into your soul, just read them, let it bury into your soul, I do believe that your 2016 life in the Spirit will be radically new and changed. And here's the five categories that we found from all of these scriptures. They just fall in, I believe they just fall into these categories. We have the indwelling, infilling by or with the Holy Spirit. We have scriptures that talk about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The power. We have a bunch of scriptures that talk about being transformed by the Holy Spirit. If you take the main 10-page hand out back there. There's a whole bunch of them talking about this transformation of the Holy Spirit There's a whole bunch that talk about being taught by the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us into all truth. And then there's quite a bit about being gifted by the Holy Spirit. So let's just work this a little bit. And I do want to go back to the filling part, because we got to make sure we know that when we get to the end of the book of Acts, that still the filling of the Spirit is available to every one of you. So I want to just show you four scriptures here. We'll just read three of them, and then I want to pause at the fourth. Here's the first, Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy, He washed away our sins, giving us new birth, that's regeneration, and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay, here's another one. Ephesians 1:13. Now you Gentiles, that's most of you in this room, some of you are Jewish, you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. We're talking about Gentiles now. We know He started with Jews and then moved on to all of the rest of us. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. Let's add into that 2 Corinthians 1, because it says kind of the same thing. And this is a neat, odd little approach here, but if we don't, it shows up repeatedly. He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us. Place the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And then the famous passage that we've paused at a few times, but I got a whole new picture of here last Sunday, and that's the Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be, present tense, being filled with the Holy Spirit. What an inspiration it was to me last Sunday. In that video that we watched toward the very end of the sermon, that the filling of the Spirit is not like, and I've been trying to figure this out for years, the filling of the Spirit is not like filling up a container. It's not like pouring the Holy Spirit into a jug that when it gets full, it bubbles over the top. The filling of the Holy Spirit is like filling a sail. As soon as I watched it, I went, yes, that's it. That's what Paul was looking at all of the time. He was around the Sea of Galilee. He's traveling over the Mediterranean Sea. He's watching that billowing sail and the filling of the sail. And he says, that's what you should be. You should be being filled with the Holy Spirit, who will fill the sail and then perfectly, beautifully, accurately propel the ship on the right course. Now, here's the problem. Scripture makes it clear that it's possible for a Christian to be unfilled. God would not have stressed being filled unless it was possible for us to be sitting lifeless, wandering aimlessly, being pushed off course by every errant breeze. I have stressed what I believe it takes to be adequately filled up, being filled with the Spirit of God. It takes, I think, a surrendering of our life, our direction, our ambitions, our self-sovereignty to the Holy Spirit's guidance, to His divine leadership. After all, He has promised to lead us into all truth. So you want your sails filled? If that's the true picture, and I really do believe it is, you want your sails filled so that it propels you and directs your life? It's not so much about how much wind there is available. It's whether or not your sails are tacked into the wind. The Holy Spirit is infinite in what He has available for you. The question is, are we lined up with what He wants to do? Or a quote that I have loved for years, it's not so much about how much of the Holy Spirit you have as it is about how much of you the Holy Spirit has. You can have a whole ocean full of wind, And by the way, this is just such a neat description, because the Old Testament word for spirit is ruach, which means breath or wind. The New Testament word for spirit is, anybody know? Pneuma. Pneuma, from which we get the word pneumatic, which means the same thing. So this is absolutely dead on. You can have a whole ocean full of wind, but if your sail is turned sideways to it, it's not going to do you much good. The Bible actually says that rather than embracing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, we can ignore him or even push him away. The Bible says that. Let me show you. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not stifle. Most of your versions use the word grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, now may the God of peace make you holy, sanctify. That's that word we looked at that means make this transformation in you to leave the sin life behind and take on the new righteous life. May the God of peace sanctify you in every way. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. How do we grieve the Spirit? How would we do that? How would you, a Christian, or me, and I've done this, this is what I'm troubled about, how would I stifle the Holy Spirit? How would I unfill my sails so that I'm not being pushed along, filled by the Holy Spirit? Let me add another verse to this. We'll put it on the screen. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, Ephesians 4. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Do not bring sorrow. You notice what I don't see there? I don't see anything about the indwelling Holy Spirit being mad. Do you? If we don't follow his guidance, if we don't let the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth, he's going to fly into a rage. That's not what it says. The Holy Spirit is in us as our helper. He's there as the paraclete, one who comes alongside to fill us with all the divine resources of heaven. And when we're content to sit still with our sails unfilled, with our spiritual ship dead in the water, it brings sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. It grieves him. And of course, stifles his yearning to transform us into the character of Jesus Christ. It's not so much about how much of the Holy Spirit you have. It's how much of you the Holy Spirit has. How willing are you to let him do in you what needs to be done? Or another quote from just a few weeks ago. This was one that we used. Real eternal life transformation doesn't start with a steely mind. We use this in response to our habit of making resolution. Doesn't start with a steely mind. It starts with a surrendered soul. Surrendered soul. And my question here is, do we get that? I'm trying to get that. I'm trying to get that personally. And the thing about this is, when I really get serious about allowing God to lead every single aspect of my life, it's only then that I begin to realize how much of my life is not actually directed by him. When we're just kind of buzzing on doing our own thing, we don't realize just how much self-sovereignty there is, how much I control. But when we start to get serious about letting him nudge us, we begin to realize just how much nudging there is to do. And that gets uncomfortable to understand, oh God, I mean, I thought there was three things, turns out there's 300. But the Spirit of God, he's not back there with a club. The Spirit of God is the paraclete. He's the helper. He's there to move us carefully. He's there to fill the sail. Once we submit to him, the sail fills and he begins to move us. in the direction that he desires us to be. In fact, that moves us to the power part of this. When we open-handedly surrender to the gentle, loving leadership of God, who wants nothing but our best good, he has promised, he has the wisdom, he has the knowledge, he has the divine resources to lead us into all truth. And when we tack, and I don't want to make this kind of weird, but when we tack into the wind, when we allow the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, to begin to lift us from the inside, to transform us from the inside, to begin to direct us into all truth, and we surrender to that, when we do that, there is something that begins to happen on the outside of your life. Let me show you. The empowerment by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at these scriptures. I pray, Ephesians 1, that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. We're literally filled to all the fullness of God. Imagine that sail filled. You will be filled to all the fullness of God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. He wants to do remarkable things through our lives. We can't comprehend, sitting in these seats, what God wants to do through our lives. All he needs from us, he'll do the work. He needs from us this surrender, this allowing ourselves to be aligned. Let me, for the next 5 minutes, just take you to three passages, and these will be the last three. They're not the normal put at the head of the page passages. They're on your sheet. I want you to read them through. But these are so good. These are the ones you typically put last on the list. And when I begin to look, I said, no, that's good stuff right there. Let's do it. Three in a row, starting with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, there's the fourth time that's showing up. The sealing of the Spirit, the guarantee of the Spirit. This is a big deal to God. As a guarantee, he's given us his Holy Spirit. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us. Don't get the idea that you can make yourself be more patient. You can make yourself be more, what else do we have now? Pure. You can make yourself be kinder. That's not the point here. The point is the Holy Spirit within us will transform these things in our life. And our love, he will transform the love in our life. 7:1 says, because we have these promises, dear friend, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. That's not talking about us trudging toward holiness. That's talking about us surrendering to the Holy Spirit, who will lead us to holiness. Lead our life to a life of holiness. I'm not talking about something that's available to 12 people in this room. It's available to every single person in this room. That is. Let's move on to the second one. I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. If we allow him to do, we won't be trudging off after the things that we tend to fall into. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. I kind of like this. Instead of using I'm human as an excuse to walk in the flesh, try using I'm saved as a reason to walk in the Spirit. That's your inheritance. That's who you are. That's who God makes you to be. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But don't imagine that you're just caught in that battle. Three verses later, we'll get to this next week. Three verses later, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. He's going to grow fruit in us. It's going to make us different. We don't have to be in that fight forever where we're fighting certain things, and 2 years later, we're still fighting the same battles. He's saying, I'm ready and willing to transform you. But here's the last one, and this is the one that just hit me right between the eyes. I've never seen it before. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. Get this picture now. Your life, people read you, is a letter. All of our lives are lettered. People are reading who we are on a constant basis. However, this letter that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is written not with a pen and ink, but it's written with the Spirit of the living God. Understand what he's saying here? Instead of it being, when you look at my life, and you look at my actions, and you look at my reactions, and you hear my words, either they're harsh, or they're not, or they're good, or they're kind, or they're not kind, and you hear the bad stuff come out of me, you hear the good stuff come out of me, you see my actions, you're reading the letter. And everybody's reading everybody's letter. The question is, if the Spirit of the living God is writing his letter on our life, if he's writing the letter, then the people who we run up against in life are going to begin to read the letter written by the Holy Spirit in our life. Does that make any sense, or am I just talking in circles? It's carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws. That was the Old Testament, and that was so hard to keep. People had rules to keep, and they just couldn't keep them. This one is carved in us by the Spirit. This one is built into us by the Spirit. The Old Covenant ends in death. It just couldn't quite get it done. But under the New Covenant, the Spirit gives life. And then this neat verse in verse 8, and it's a question. And you read the question, you go, oh, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving us light? And you're going to go, why, yes, we should. My life should be a reflection of God. My life should look more and more like my model, Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God within me is writing the letter. And then we get down, jump down to verse 17. The Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, freedom, free. Would you like to be free? And then this powerful, powerful verse, our last one. All of us who've had that veil removed, that between us and the old life, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Is that clear or what? That's what God wants to do inside of us. That's the empowerment, the infilling of the Spirit. That's part of it. There are other things. But that's part of what he's wanting to do. He's saying, if you'll just allow me, I will so transform you that in 2017, and all of us, if Jesus doesn't return first or we don't die, we're going to get there. We're going to get to the first 2 weeks of 2017, and we're going to look back. What would it be like if I looked back at the end of 2017 and said, look what God did. I'm not who I was a year ago. That part of my life that had so controlled me just faded away, and in its place, the letter of the Holy Spirit was being rewritten, and people are reading me. They're reading the new letter written by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. And you certainly know us better than anybody else in the room. But the reality is, and this is a big reality, the reality is our lives are all what they are. And they are the product of not just your salvation. Many in this room have come to you and asked for forgiveness for past sins. But there's just so much more you're offering us. And I don't want to underestimate that. That's huge. Ask forgiveness for sins. And receiving forgiveness, and receiving, we say, cleansing. But the cleansing now takes us on to the next stage. You want to do something in us that makes us not the same person again that we were before. And that is this transformation from the indwelling, empowering Holy Spirit inside that rewrites the letter of our lives. I am praying right now that there's some of you in this room, many of you in this room, that are saying, oh God, yes. Oh God, yes. 2015 was not a particularly good year for my spiritual life. And I don't want to repeat it in 2016. I don't want this year to simply be a do-over. I want this year to be a year when the Holy Spirit within rewrites my letter. And so many of the things that have been front and center, pulling me off the trail, pulling me back, tugging me down, begin to be no longer my control. But my control is the Spirit of God within. You know what you need to do. I'm just telling you, straight up here. You know what you need to do. There's one action from you that will allow the Holy Spirit to do all that He needs to do to fill the sail. And that's your surrender to Him. Most of the time, we have sins in our life because, like the skit here earlier, God nudged us on it, and we at some point just said, No, I think I'll just go right on with this one. And what God is asking today is for you to say, yes, I'm so ready. I'm so ready for every area of my life to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You may want to deal with this by coming down here and kneeling in the front. I don't know what you need, but I do know that you need, to surrender ourselves to the loving guidance of the Holy Spirit within. What does He want to do in you? Once He does it, what will you look like that's different than today?
Please join our pastors now for a roundtable discussion about the awesome work of the Holy Spirit in the here and now of life. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
As we're pondering this message, and particularly the last verse of Scripture that was mentioned was Galatians chapter 5:16. It says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." A sinful nature wants to do evil. The question I ask myself, well, how do I get there? And I'm glad that growing up as a Christian, I learned these scriptures in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, when it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I'm glad that was emphasized to me in my early life, because I realized that I had to come to a place in my life of surrendering my life to Him. It wasn't the fact of a dead spirit, but a living spirit. When you put your life on the altar, you're giving it over to Him for someone to take over. And I remember all these factors coming up into my life. And there are people that really had an impact on my life because of my sports. I love to play cricket, which some of you probably never even heard of. But a British athlete, C.T. Studd, who was a famous missionary too, said, "Then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." And I took that to heart. And then there's another one that I found this very morning, and it was Isaac Watts, who said, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. This is just reasonable service." And when I was willing to give my life over to Him, He took control. And the wonderful thing is, that is what it is walking in the Spirit, is to be able to travel and walk with Him. One thing that it says in the second verse of chapter 12, it says this: "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." In other words, do not be conformed to the things of this world. And I look forward to Him guiding me day by day.
I kind of want to build on that idea of surrender, Pastor Ian, and the result of it. I had given my testimony before, but I was raised by a mom who took me to church, and I understood who Jesus was and knew about forgiveness of sin, and even made some decision when I was a younger boy. But my life did not reveal the power of God in it. But when I was 23 years old, there was something different that happened. The truth that was always in me made a difference, and I remember the prayer that changed life for me. And it was not a prayer that says, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I already knew that. The prayer was, Dear God, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I ask you to come in and change me and fix what I've broken. And when I prayed that and surrendered my will to him, that is when the transforming power of the Holy Spirit happened. And I want to make something clear for everybody listening. This is not about what you do. It is about something you become. It is about a change of who you are. I was immediately transformed. I no longer desired the things that I had once desired before. I began to do things like ask God what I should do about everything. Everything. I asked, does your word say anything about my friendships? What do they say about my finances? What does it say about my family? I began to seek the Spirit's guidance in every aspect of my daily life. And as I began to do that in every area, great and small, the power that raised Jesus from the dead became and began to be applied to my life. I began to see victory where there was once defeat. I saw guidance where there was confusion. I saw power where there simply wasn't any. And I saw an influence on my family and friends that I'd never seen before. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is a transforming power, not a reforming power, as was stated. You are a Christian. You are a child of the living God. You are one with the power of the risen Christ in you. You battle against the things of this world, but you are victorious. And the only other thing I would say to you is if we look at that passage that talks about grieving the Holy Spirit, I want you to notice something. That passage comes in the context of community. It talks about how we respond within the body of Christ. If you're struggling and you feel like you're crying out to God and are surrendered, but you aren't seeing victory, perhaps it's because you're disconnected from the rest of the body. I would urge you, if you are, get connected. We'd love to see you here, but find a place where you can be with other Christians who are living victorious lives, who can teach you how to live that victorious life.
I want to build on that, Pastor Kevin, what you just said. Belonging to a local community of believers is essential. Dearly beloved, I want you all to know this, and I want this to be an encouragement to you as it is to me. I actually speak at a school every Friday during the school year at a school called Somerset Charter Prep School. And we've seen many people over the last 9 months come to know Jesus. But across the St. Lucie County and Martin County, we've had 1,700 students come to know Jesus. And we are not in a braggadocious way, it's a fact. We are the leading two counties in the entire state of Florida. But if it just stays there, they're just saved, they made a decision, but they don't join a local church, they're going to be in for a world of trouble. They must belong to a local church. So we make that very clear from the outset that you're born again, that's great, but now you need to be a part of a family to serve, to love, to labor. And what really stood out to me in this message from Pastor Sam was when Pastor Sam said, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin. Sin doesn't have power over us as believers anymore. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, transformed, and then sent out to a lost and dying world. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I really love that I want to share as well. There are a great many things in Christianity that cannot be understood until after you've gone a certain distance along the Christian road. I think that's very, very profound. Also, one word of what God says is worth way more than 10,000 libraries of what man says. That really stood out to me. So my prayer for all of us is that we would be more and more conformed into the image of Christ. Our flesh isn't in control. Satan isn't large and in charge. Satan is at war because God is at work. So let's obey him and find our peace there at the foot of the cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are holy, you are other, and we are in desperate need of you. You are an amazing God, and we are your children. We are your children, and we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So may we be reminded of that as we live our daily life. May it be pleasing to you, edifying to others, and good for us as we grow more and more into the image of your beloved Son. And we pray all these things in his precious name. Amen.
We pray that God has blessed you as you listen today. We invite you to visit with us on Sunday mornings. Join us for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We also have a children's program that takes place during the worship service called Disciple Town. It's a fun and engaging time of worship and learning for your children ages 4 years old through fifth grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during the Bible classes and worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. There's a full schedule of activities and events for you and your family each week here at Grace. Would you please contact us or visit our website to learn more about the opportunities for you and your family? We believe God wants to do an amazing work in your life as you learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com. Remember to request the free resource on what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the risen Savior grant you grace and power and joy through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We hope that you will visit with us soon.